Welcome. I'm a Pastor Trudy, and I serve Wood River and Alda United Methodist Churches, and I am so glad that you are joining us for worship. Whether you are joining in the morning at 9:30, or you join us later in the day or the week, we are thankful for you. We just want you to know we do love our online community. We also want you to know that we are gathering in person here at Wood River at 9:30 and in Alda at 11. Here in Alda, masks are recommended. And in Alda, they are still required. But we invite you to worship with us, whether you can join us in person or you're joining us online. Just some announcement. We just really want to lift up our graduates today. I know here in Wood River and this weekend in many places, people are celebrating, seniors are celebrating their graduations. And so we just want them to know that we are excited for them and are praying for them. I think it's great for right now. We just begin our time of worship together with an opening prayer, inviting the love of Jesus to meet us in a powerful way today. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful that we can set apart this time to worship you. Lord, help us just to set aside all those things that might be distracting us and just focus on hearing your word for us today. Lord, we just pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit that connects us across space and time, knowing that we are your people and we have gathered to hear your word. Oh, Lord, encourage us this day May we be so impacted by your love that we would desire to impact our communities with your love also. We ask all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we are on our last message of our sermon series, First Love, as we have been journeying through the book of Philippians. And I think maybe in a new way than we've done it before. We really haven't focused on the word rejoice, which is repeated so frequently in the book of Philippians. But today we are going to hear those words rejoice and how important they are when it comes to persevering in our faith. And that's our word for today, persevere. And before I read, I always want to remind us of the context of which this scripture, this letter was written by Paul. Remember, he is in prison and probably facing a trial and possibly execution. And we know that did happen to Paul. But I also think it's a good reminder to us before we engage today's scripture, really what was taking place around Paul and in the culture where Paul was. You'll hear in our text about Caesar and the Roman, that's a Roman emperor, and the Roman emperor that was the Caesar of that time was Nero. And he was considered one of history's greatest criminals. They often call his reign the reign of terror. His name often is synonymous with evil. The historic accounts accused him of killing his stepbrother, his wife, his mother, as well as persecuting and torturing Christians in ways that I don't even think that we can come to understand, and so inhumane, and instigating the devastation of the great fire of Rome and blaming it on Christians. And so the persecution continued in a horrible way. And so Paul is imprisoned during this time of the reign of Nero. And so when we hear this scripture today and we know where Paul is at, and as we've journeyed through the Philippians, I invite us to hear these words that may be familiar to us with fresh ears, allowing God to speak to us. Hear the word of God from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians, yet it was good to share. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, When I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, last week, we talked about how Paul considered all that he had gained in life basically garbage, considered to the gain he had received in Christ and to be found in him, to be found in Christ. Nothing compared to knowing Jesus. And it is where we find our compass. It was where we found our compass text for the journey. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead as followers of Jesus Christ, entering into that resurrection power and participating in the sufferings of Christ, recognizing that's where we receive the greatest resurrection power in our lives. And so, excuse me, I always do it backwards. So we press on to take hold of for that which Christ Jesus took hold of us. So how do we keep pressing on? Or how do we keep persevering? Because that's our word today. Persevering in the faith during these hard times as we participate in the sufferings of Christ. As sometimes we have to give up things that are so important to us in order to follow Christ. To let go of our agendas in order to follow Christ's agenda. How do we persevere and take hold of that love of Christ that first took hold of us? That first love that we've been talking about. When you have or you don't feel like it, when you feel like you're losing everything, how do you continue to move forward in the faith when all seems lost? You're having a really hard time seeing the gain. Paul gives us the answer. Rejoice. Rejoice. There's that word I've been wanting to cry out as it's been repeated so many times in the book of Philippians. And in case you did not hear it with your ears the first time, just because of the disbelief that that's the answer to persevere in persecution, or in hardship, or in the chaos and the unknown, or in our own brokenness, Paul tells the church one more time, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I think it's important. That's pretty unbelievable that when life's difficult, hardships come, we know that's where Paul's at. And that's his word for us. Rejoice, to have joy and proclaim joy. I think it's important for us to remember what joy is and what it is not. joy. And I want you to know that we've been doing a devotional First Love for those who joined in with that and signed up for that. And this quote is a paraphrase from that book and devotional, because I don't think I could say it any better than J.V. Walt said it in his devotional. Joy is not happiness. It's not just a feeling or an emotion. Although a lot of times we say we feel joy, the joy and the rejoicing that Paul is talking about here is not positive thinking, but joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of those. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is supernatural. It comes from God. It is poured into our lives through receiving the Holy Spirit. It's a gift given to us, a fruit in our lives that is to continually be growing in our lives. It transcends our emotions and our circumstances. It's just a beautiful gift of God. So if you are thinking, I am not happy right now, I know we've all been there. We haven't been happy. It doesn't mean you lack joy. But you know where your joy comes from, and you know who your joy is. Joy, as J.D. Walt says, is the deep inner conviction that though things are not right, everything will be all right. Because joy is experienced through Christ. And when we exercise our faith through rejoicing. Rejoicing, joy. I don't know, I think that was tested in my life this week. I had a few days where my heart was just so chaotic and emotions everywhere. And having, you know, I'm a pastor and, you know, I have all these emotions inside and, you know, and I have to go out and be nice to people. That's part of who I am. I didn't feel like it. So how do you rejoice in the midst of all of that? I don't do this perfectly, and I often struggle. And so I have to be reminded, but yet, as Paul told us last week in our text, I press on to take hold of that which has taken hold of me. And so what did I do? I said, hey, Google. Hey, Google. Not like my granddaughter, who is 3 years old. She always wants Google to tell her jokes. Hey, Google, tell us a joke. And then it tells us a joke, and we laugh. And let's say it's pretty much a fake laugh, because the jokes aren't really all that funny. And this time, I didn't need a laugh. I needed something deeper. I needed joy to well up inside me again. In order to persevere and to move forward in the day. So I said, hey, Google, play Jesus. And so you know what that means. I have a Spotify list full of worship songs that draw me back to Jesus. Just called Jesus, and the music began to play. And again, I began to rejoice in the Lord again, knowing that that was my joy. In faith, claiming and rejoicing no matter what I was feeling inside. Because Paul James tells us, in chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces, what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. This is the maturing of our faith. As we grow in our faith and begin to trust Jesus, even in difficult situations, unwanted situations. Do you really think Paul wanted to be in prison? I think he would have rather been out proclaiming the gospel. But let Jesus be our example, who for the joy set before him, what? Endured the cross. He persevered. And that act of rejoicing produces the greater, even greater fruit in our lives. As our scripture tells us that we are to have gentleness. In this world that is broken, chaotic, and angry, the followers of Jesus are to have the fruit of the Spirit that is called gentleness. How have we been doing? Not just our small church here, but the church worldwide. Because in the midst of trials, we remember when we rejoice and in the gentleness that Jesus is near. Jesus is near. Jesus has taken hold of us. Jesus has a strong hold on our lives. He is our light. He is our salvation. Jesus is our first love because he first loved us. And he's with us as followers of Jesus Christ. And more than that, he's closer than that. He's in us. And so, we rejoice and we praise God in the midst of our situations, difficult or not. Because if we don't, we are moved to a place of anxiousness and fear when we look at the world. We forget that Jesus is near. We forget that although things are not right, they will be all right when we are in Christ. And so, instead of being anxious, we're called to a deeper connection with Jesus through prayer, lifting everything up to God who lifts it up from off of us. Thanksgiving does that because it helps to refocus our heart and minds on the goodness and presence of Jesus in our lives. And in that, we receive peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, will be what guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It's not a peace of our own making. Again, it's another fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you remember the words of Jesus, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Jesus is our peace. Friends, the Lord is near. Our peace that surpasses anything that we can understand or the world can understand when they look at us, how can they have peace? How do we continue to persevere? We continue to rejoice, and we, as J.D. Waltz says in the devotional in the chapter, don't fall trapped to the stinking thinking. I had a mentor that often told me that when I would begin to fall into that stinking thinking, when my mind would start rolling in the wrong direction, he would say, "That is just stinking thinking." And I don't think I ever appreciated the fact that he ever said it. But it was wisdom. It was wisdom because I didn't have the mind of Christ when I was rolling in that direction. And so Paul gives us other words, God's word, to tell us what to think upon. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Begin to return your focus to those things that are of God. But even further, he asks us to put them in practice. We are to be true, to be noble, to live a life that honors God, that is pure, that is lovely to the world, that is admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, a life in Christ. I know what it is to be in need, Paul says, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And when you find that contentment, all the things above begin to flow from your heart in your life. In every situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, remember where Paul's at. And then he says these words, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Or we often hear it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our favorite bumper sticker verse. It doesn't often mean what we think it does when we keep it in the context of God's word. It doesn't mean I can accomplish anything I set my mind to with a little bit of Jesus' help. Because we can't do all things. We can't do all things. It's basically telling us we can't do all things. It means I can persevere and endure, and not only that, we can even thrive, as J.D. Waltz says, and overcome every obstacle thrown in the way of the gospel. The gospel, because I know the secret. It's Christ in me. So I could do all things that Christ calls me to for the sake of the gospel, because he gives me the strength and the power. Paul has learned what abundance is, and he's grateful for the church in Philippi and their generosity to him. But he reminds them that he's thankful, but he knows where abundance truly comes from, and it's from Jesus. Even though the world would look at his life and say, there is no abundance, there's scarcity, Paul knows differently. And so we come to that part of the gospel that gives us the why, the purpose of living this life. And if you miss it, don't feel bad. I've missed it for years. And it just came awake in a study with a group of people. I have so focused on the purpose of rejoicing, which is a strong word for us in Philippians to cling to. But I had lost the why of it all. Let's hear it again. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me, send greetings. And all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Do you hear the why? Caesar's household is saying hello to the church in Philippi. I know, it's hard to see. Remember Nero, the reign of terror, the fear of persecution that was taking place in the life of Christians should have driven people away from Paul, away from Christianity, away from Christ. And although Paul was in chains, the gospel can never be in chains, because the gospel is alive, because Jesus is alive, and it breaks down all of those barriers of fear, because it's so beautiful. That is why Philippians teaches us that it is so important for the church to have God's perspective. Let's just go back to the beginning, to gain God's perspective on our situations, to live Christ as our priority, not one of our priorities, but as our priority, and to be willing to serve with passion. And let's rephrase it, with the passion, where we become like Jesus, a servant, to the point that we die to our own agenda in order to live the cross-shaped life of sacrifice that pours out, there's our next word, to others because of our love for Jesus. And so we can only do it, though, when we press in to Jesus. And we do that through perseverance. Because this is the gain, folks. In the most frightening and the darkest of times, Caesar's household says hi. Because the life of Christ was so evident in Paul, it drew them to Jesus. Where he could have been bitter, he was gentle. And where he could have lost faith and trust, he pressed in, and Jesus was with him. And the losses and the gains of seeing people coming to know Jesus Christ was worth it all. It's worth our lives to experience the gain of the kingdom of God, people knowing Jesus Christ and experiencing his love and his salvation. Truly believe the world is hungry to see us live what we confess and what we believe, no matter the cost. And so we leave with the word of Scripture, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit. It's all grace. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we're so thankful that you meet us, that you encourage us, and your word is meant to transform us through the power of the Holy Spirit as we take hold of your truth and allow you to impact our lives in such a way the world is impacted and others come to know Jesus. That's the gain, Lord, we all desire. Because there's no greater joy than the joy of your Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, we know our world is hurting. We're all experiencing trials and temptations. We know people who are sick. We know people who are grieving. And so, Lord, we just pray for your comfort, your peace, your tenderness and your gentleness to meet them in their need. And that, Lord, you would help them to persevere in the faith. They would know the truth of the gospel, the truth of your love that transcends their circumstance. Or draw us in your joy so we can experience the completeness of it. Lord, we so thank you that we do not do this life alone. As you send us together as your church to persevere together as a community of faith, to go to the world, to be your hands and feet, and to speak about your love. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray for its brokenness. We pray for your peace to come down and your love to come down and meet us and transform us. And we thank you for your spirit, O Lord. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. And so we join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I pray that you go in the love of Jesus Christ and you know the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the fruit, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, in order to look so contrary to the world that others are drawn to him. And as we go in that love and power, may we give glory to God the Father. Go in his peace. And let us praise God as we sing the doxology together. As I find it.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Father, Son, and Holy.